Well, I remember vividly the Christmas of 1988. Despite it being 29 years ago, it was the first year my father was gone, separated and eventually divorced from my mother. I was still in a sort of shock, not believing it was happening, and still not fully aware of the drastic consequences it would soon have on my life. We were never rich, but up to that point, we at least had enough money for some nice clothes, good food, and yes, a basement full of Christmas presents. All the latest toys a young kid in the 80s could want. Life to that point seemed pretty good. But nearly overnight, we found ourselves go from lower middle class to the working poor, forced to radically change our lifestyle to accommodate a severe reduction in income. See, my father's departure meant that my mother and I were living paycheck to paycheck from her job at Hardee's, a minimum wage job, and with no contributions from my father that year, Christmas didn't look like it would be so merry. My mother was cautiously preparing me for the idea that I might not get as many presents this year, and that I really needed to pick one big thing I wanted. I can't remember for the life of me what I chose that year, and I'm almost certain I don't have it anymore. But I do remember I got it. More impressive, though, was how full my stockings were. Just how much there was for me to open. At first, I couldn't figure out what had happened. I was on that teetering age where you're still trying to figure out if Santa is real or not. Maybe it really was a Christmas miracle. I was expecting only one thing, and here were a bunch more than one. All stacked up, ready for a child's glee on Christmas morning. I soon noticed something strange, though. Inside one of the stockings was a stuffed animal, a little dog with its head sticking out, staring at me with that adorable look such toys always give, which seemed to scream, "Squeeze me!" Except this wasn't the first time I'd seen that particular stuffed animal. I didn't play with it much, but I knew it was part of my existing collection, one that must have been plucked out of my toy bin because my mom hoped I wouldn't notice. I never told my mother that I'd realized what she had done. I knew she had good intentions, and so she was willing to put on more than a bit of a farce in order to make me still feel as if I'd had a good Christmas. She didn't want me to feel as if there was nothing for me that year, so she did what she could to make sure that the stockings were full. In fact, I'd later find out her co-workers, who didn't all have that much money themselves, had also chipped in to help her buy some more presents for me. An act I hope I'll be able to pay forward someday. And I did feel loved that Christmas. And everyone after. We didn't always have a lot of money. And like Maddie in our story this morning, we didn't always even have enough food. There were times my mom skipped more than one meal to ensure I had enough to eat. And I remember eating plenty of government-issued cheese, pork, peanut butter, and powdered milk. And if you've ever had government powdered milk, you'll agree with me when I say that I hope I never see that stuff again. No matter how hard things got, my mother always wanted me to feel provided for, like I lack nothing. And so it was surprising as an adult when I found out just how many times we were only a paycheck away from financial disaster, the possibility of homelessness, or more skipped meals on the horizon. My mother never let me feel poor because she wanted me to believe that one day I could do better than she had. And at least in my case, it worked. Other children aren't so fortunate. Economic justice, for these and many other reasons, is a very personal issue for me. I believe every person, regardless of circumstances, deserves a warm place to sleep, enough food to sustain themselves, and the goods necessary to live a life of flourishing. It's one of the great injustices of our time and place that so many people, even within our local area, have to go to sleep cold, hungry, and alone every night. In our land of plenty, where so many people have so much money, they'll never be able to spend it in a lifetime, there are still people who go without. I refuse to accept this situation. Along with Martin Luther King Jr., I can't help but refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the vaults of opportunity of this nation. In our nation of plenty, where we profess that every person has the same opportunity as every other, how are there children who will wake up without presents on Christmas, or who will not know the pleasure of a hot Thanksgiving meal? It baffles me, just as much as I hope it does you. Charity will never completely alleviate this lack. That can only come with drastic changes to the way our society functions, changes which probably won't come overnight or anytime soon. And in order to be just, charity must always be accompanied by the tools to allow a person to become self-sustaining, to allow them the dignity of a life they can be proud of, where they have some say in their destiny and real choices for how to move forward in life. But in the short term, charity can provide hope as we grapple with these larger societal solutions. Just as I felt loved as I awoke that Christmas morning to a stocking full of presents, and just as Maddie realized the love of Sophia's family who helped her in her time of crisis, so the generosity of community can be a force to remind us that we are all interconnected, especially in times of trouble. Let us not forget to strive for the larger societal changes which will make charity unnecessary. In the meantime, though, may the work of these organizations and people bring many smiles and much hope throughout these holiday seasons.
When you're working in social services, used to be called welfare when I started in the late 60s, and I did this for several decades. You see a part of life when you're coming from basically middle class background, and you really don't see the oops. Okay, there we go. Got a mouthful there. Yeah. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that you see a part of life that you may not realize existed. You know, this went meant people with mental and physical limitations that nature gave them, or something happened to them, or the self-inflicted wounds that people give each other. So what one doesn't see very often is success. At least success is defined in America. because without success, one is not usually accorded respect. Negative labels are ascribed, white and trash are combined, or the N-word is, or and many, many other negative terms. So no access to the good life, no good choices. Now we have food pantries, food stamps, homeless shelters, substance abuse treatment, handicap access, Medicaid, work programs. These all meet a need, but they give you a negative label if not in your mind, then by others. We also have an expectation they will be grateful to show the giver they appreciate so that the giver feels better. Usually the message is, thank God I'm not one of them. When an idea comes along, when an idea comes along where people have not had positive choices, a project like New Beginnings Angel Mission up in Calumet is a breath of fresh air. A place that says, you are respected. You have choices. How liberating can that be? Today, I had invited Terry Bazin, and she had called me last night, and I did not get back to her, so apparently she did not make it over here today. So, and I apologize for that thing, but what I wanted to say is, I've been over there, and it is a wonderful place. You have people who give clothes, and they will not accept clothes that they themselves would not wear. They have a choice. They say, you know, we don't want all your ratty old stuff. You know, we want people to have the same kinds of choices that you and I have when we go to stores. So the idea is that it, you know, this really does take a bite out of poverty for the people in the Keweenaw. And so I would like to encourage you to have if you have any desire to help create this positive choice for people to give in the basket that we're going to pass around this morning. And one of the things Terry told me. One of the things Terry told me is that if people have cars that break down, they will actually help pay for those repairs, because obviously up here there's no regular bus service between communities. And so that is really gives people an opportunity to maintain their jobs and be able to, you know, if they're working at Hardee's or any of the other fast food places or in a retail operation, they're able to at least get the minimum. And as we know, electricity is a major cost item. Doesn't hurt a lot of us, but when your budget is really tight, it makes a difference. I remember when I was in college, we bought these packages of cut up chicken. And when the price went up from 39 to 43 cents a pound, that was a major financial crisis, because everything's so tight. We had a car, didn't have a reverse that worked anymore. You always had to make sure you parked it so you can go forward. So these are the kinds of little things, but that's a voluntary choice on my part to go to college and forego income at that time, and be able to think that I'd have a future. But what happens if you would get all this training and you're living on the edge? After you get the training, you still have to live on the edge, because this is a problem that seems to be increasing in our society. And these are the things, again, that are happening. We don't have choices at times, or we have choices, they're bad ones. And so I just want to encourage you today to think about the opportunity that you're giving people when you give to the Angel Mission. They're empowering people. And this is what we want. We don't want people who are dependent, because we want them to be able to feel good about themselves. We want their children to feel good about themselves. So all of this is important. So I would appreciate it if you would be able to give what you can today, and I will get over to New Angel Mission when I go over there this week. So thank you.
Of course, you may have checks to Angel Mission, or
no, that's not Angel Mission. Yes.
Angel Mission.